прошу.
Tuned in to the frequency of Colette and Matt have entered the chat, a weekly conversation about video games, video game culture, video game technologies, video game communities, and general internet stuff, social commentary, and the like. And, look, I'm only one half of the show. My name is Matt Silverman, joined as always by the one and only Colette Bennett. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm waging a bloody and brutal war against an army of fruit flies that have infested our kitchen.
Oh, God.
And honestly, it's not looking good. And I think we're going to nuke the house and move on. That's what's going on here.
Wow. Well, you should probably make a video of when you nuke the house, because it sounds like, you know, like that's something you could get a lot of views for. I mean,
you know, you have watched Patrick play Helldivers, right? Like you're familiar with the whole Helldivers shtick, which is like you raise your arm and you go boop, 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 boop. You put in the Konami code and you're calling in an airstrike, which ends up being like a 500 kilogram like nuclear bomb. And then you just watch it obliterate all the bugs and the robots that you're fighting. I want to do that video where the kitchen is just a disaster. There's dishes and wrappers and food everywhere. And I run in, I go boop, boop, boop. And then I just like do the shittiest green screen like bomb effect and then blow it up. And that's my Helldivers video. But I never actually did it. I almost did.
Oh, God. Such a pain in the butt to have to deal with that kind of house shit. I feel like we haven't had to have a really bad house thing, and the key word there is yet.
You're still new in your newer place, mm-hmm. right? How long has it been? Has it been a year?
It'll be a year in October.
Yeah. And so not even you know, eight or nine months there.
So yeah, it's all about hasn't happened yet. But one of the reasons that we were excited about taking this house was specifically because we knew that the people that had lived in it before us had taken really fastidious care of it.
That's nice.
And when they showed it to us, they went through everything they had fixed and changed and refreshed. And
you met with the owners? You weren't like talking to a broker or something?
No, my story is interesting. It's basically that this couple that lived here were friends of my mother-in-law and had worked for her at her restaurant for 10 years and lived here. And so they're both Thai. They wanted to go back to Thailand. And so they wanted to sell their home and they
They were going back to like be with family, or was there other reasons to leave? Were they retiring or?
No, they're both pretty young. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I didn't dig, but I do definitely know that they, you know, wanted to leave. And so
got out just in time. Nice work. Right.
Yeah, they really did. Fuck me. It's definitely just in time. But so basically the way it worked is that we got to just take over the mortgage for the house it was kind of handed off to us. So it was the best possible scenario because we never had to pay, a down payment. We didn't have to negotiate. We didn't have to do any of the hell that a lot of people have to go through for, you know, acquiring a home. So pretty neat.
We don't have to get into the personal financial details of everyone, but like, did they take a loss? Like, what about the money they put into the house? And what about the money they have paid into the mortgage that you did not? Like, you know,
that's definitely stuff that's between them and my mother-in-law that I'm not getting into on the show.
I see. Okay. I'm trying to figure out
some of it, but yeah, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to talk about that here.
Because I'm like, they just like handed you the keys and said, enjoy. I'm like, wait a minute. Something else is. Yeah.
My mother, I will say that my mother-in-law is a buyer and seller of property.
Nice.
And this is not her first time doing such a thing. So
yes.
I know they figured something out. I think she probably saw it as an opportunity to get us, you know, a house at a very good price.
Yeah.
So that's probably how all that went. But,
very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. At any rate. So,
well, just so wait. Yeah,
Not yet.
You'll get your fruit flies
eventually.
No terrible
things yet. Yes, I will. I know that.
How has the weather been? Because here in New York, it has been like savagely hot, and I love summer and I love being out in the hot, humid weather. But like we have been, we feel like we have been trapped in the house for like a week or two. And only just today, Friday, when we're recording this, has it actually turned nice. And then I think about you and others in the South, and I'm like, if it's bad here, like, are you even alive right now? What's going on?
So I'm glad you asked, because really, I feel like there's really a pretty good way to sum this up. So my question to you is, have you ever been cremated?
Wait, hang on. I just got to, let me just check my Google calendar. Okay. Kids born, got married, got my first job, scrolling back. No, according to this, I have never been cremated. I'm sorry to say. Okay. So I can't relate to what you're saying.
So you don't know what it's like to currently be in the South. I feel like anybody who is like, yeah, climate change isn't real, I'm like, have you been outside?
Well, like, okay.
It just don't feel right.
It don't feel right. And I want to look at date, like year over year data for our area. But like, you know, you've been in New Orleans and Georgia and Atlanta for most of your life slash adult life. So like you have the long view on it, and like, it's worse.
I always remember it being brutal. That's my memory. It's always been brutal. But that said, I'm like, now here's the other thing. Supposedly, as you get older and less comfortable in your body, you feel things more.
Yeah,
so I'm
no,
not
I think
sure
that's
if
true.
It has to do with that.
The winters feel colder and the summers feel hotter. And I feel like last summer I was like, I'm good. I love this. And for some reason this year, I'm like, I cannot even open the door, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just looked this up, because I wanted to see, because you made me curious. Atlanta endures its second hottest summer ever. That was 2016.
Okay.
And then in 2023, another report says Atlanta's summer temperatures have increased by 3.3 degrees between 1970 and 2022.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Average uptick, that's a lot of degrees. It doesn't sound like much, but that's a fuckload of warming right there.
Yeah, that's what I think too. So, and then it says here, future projections indicate that Atlanta will experience an increasing number of days over 95 degrees in the coming years, with more frequent and intense heat waves. Yeah.
We make a lot of jokes around here about the real feel, which I'm sure is some trademarked weather bullshit where it's like, it's 83 degrees, but the real feel is 140 or something. You know what I mean?
It's one of those. Okay.
Maybe it's a local thing. I don't know. But yes, the real feel has often been post 100, north
fuck,
of 100
fuck
degrees.
Me.
And again, I'm crying to you. I got nothing on what's going on down there. So I was curious. Has it broken?
Yeah.
Is today better or is it still bad?
I think there's been a couple days where we had rain. And like it like took it down like 5 to 6 degrees. Like earlier today it was like 87, and I was like, oh, maybe I should go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know? And then like I actually went out for the walk and
it's 87. I better put on a sweater. It's breezy out there.
Yeah.
That's great.
So yeah. That. But anyway, so that's how it is. It is brutally hot. I, unlike you, despise summer and want it to end before it begins. So I am always waiting for it to end and cannot fucking stand it.
But if you had to choose, you can only get rid of one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dead of winter, February. Well, no, it's never that bad by you. So I guess the answer is pretty clear.
Yeah. I think we don't get into single digits really ever. So
nor do we in here in New York, like metro area. But still, I hate it. as we've discussed many times. Yeah, so I guess it's I'm asking you a bad question. Obviously, you would get rid of Depths of Summer.
Yeah, and, never been for me. So anyway.
Well,
but
let us know in the Discord if you've ever been cremated. We have to know.
If so, how did it go for you?
How'd it go? When we got on this here podcast recording, we were like, well, you know, there's not like any like mega big news or news about particular games that we're interested or following, though the Subnautica 2 drama that we have covered last week has gotten the popcorn be poppin' and the pot be stirrin', I suppose you could say, because what started as like big corporation bad, little developers good, suddenly got more complicated, and Jason Schreier has been reporting on it at Bloomberg, and other media outlets have been, you know, he said, she said, they setting all over the internet. So like, I'm still waiting for more of that to like get sorted out, both like journalistically and legally. That was the most interesting thing to me. But like, I don't know about you. I'm tired of talking about layoffs and studio closures and games being $85. You know, it's important to talk about those things, and we will continue talking about them. But like, I just want to play some video games, man. You know,
totally. I get it, and I am 180% fine with that.
All right. Well, we've agreed. It's time. Video games. We're just going to talk about some stuff we're playing. What do you got?
Well, I feel a little boring because I really haven't varied a lot in my play. Like, I'll usually play some demos or like dick around with some just stuff I've never played before. And I haven't been really doing that as much lately. So I feel like most of my energy has remained on Expedition 33. Mm-hmm. I don't play it all of the time. I have to kind of be in the mood, but I'm still kind of hacking away because I definitely want to finish this game. I've heard nothing but interesting things about where the story's going. And I really want to know how this story's going to end. I'm more invested in where this story is going than I think I have been in an RPG in a really, really, really long time.
It's amazing. I love it.
Like, yeah, like super invested. I just really want to know. So I've had some one-on-one chats with folks in the Discord who have already finished the game and mm-hmm. kind of getting pointers from them. I hit a point in Act 2 where apparently even if you're playing on story mode, which I am, it is getting hard.
Jeez, like, man.
I hit a fight. Well, first of all, you would have fucking killed yourself over this fight because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who may not have played this far or thinks they'll play this far. But let's just say that all that blocking and parrying that they trained you to do is like, it's there to such an insane degree.
It's like the whole game, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, what weapons and what upgrades and how much leveling up have you done? Well, that's all in the background, because if you don't get this exact timing rhythm game right, you're dead, you know? Yeah. Like, that's my perception anyway. And every time we talk, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I can't go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. So the area I'm at, let me see how non-spoilery I can make this. The area I'm at, you're going to fight one main boss, and then that main boss has like offshoot bosses. And it's up to you whether you want to take on the offshoot bosses to weaken the main boss or just say fuck it and go right to the main boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried going to the main boss because I thought, well, I'm on story mode. It shouldn't be a problem. And the main boss beat my ass. And I was like, huh,
yeah.
Okay. So apparently story mode does not necessarily mean you're just going to make it through the whole game, like, you know, as it does in many other types of games. It's like, nah, that's not happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well, let me see if I can go and fight, you know, the smaller bosses. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll go do that. So I go to fight one of the smaller bosses, and the smaller boss kicks my ass. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you fucking serious?
This was supposed to be the on-ramp to the other thing, and I can't even get on the freaking ramp.
Yeah. And I was like, God damn it. So I go and I read, I do some reading, and I learn like, oh, okay, my characters are a little underleveled because I've never grinded.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Like, is grinding grinding stats and levels, is that a way forward for you in the game right now?
Well, apparently it is, because I read people saying, yeah, I took this fight on around level 30, around level 32. And I was like, huh, okay. And I was like, well, my characters are like level 28 because I've never grinded them at all to level them. So let me just, you know, do some more. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing about that, I will hand them this, was that it was my first time actually trying to purposely level my characters. Mm-hmm. And they leveled quite easily.
Yeah.
You know, I probably had to do 10 to 12 fights to get them, well, maybe more like 10 to put them where I wanted them to be. And I was like, oh, yep. Okay, I'm pretty happy with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I did that. I did a little bit of changing around, a little bit of, you know, tweaking of, you know, Pictos and all the stuff that they have equipped. And then I went back in and I was able to kill that fight. And I was like, oh, not on the first try. I was like, oh, nice.
Great, great.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so that's where I'm currently at, but I just, yeah, it's very interesting to me. Cause I was thinking to myself, oh, like, I guess I just thought that we were going to like, I guess I thought playing story mode meant that I was just gonna, I was just gonna just barrel through.
Yeah, barrel, you know? Through or like, face some fights where you got to figure some stuff out and get a little handle on it, but not that you're going to like have your ass handed to you instantly and repeatedly, or that you'd face a fight and you're like, oh God, I have no chance. I have no chance of doing this without grinding
right
10 more levels or fights or whatever.
Exactly that. Like I was like, okay, well,
and
that's
look,
okay.
Here's the thing. I love grinding. I like games where I have to get incrementally stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like not mindless, but it's like repetitive and numbers go up and you feel the satisfaction of getting stronger. Like that's Monster Hunter. That's a lot of games I play. But like the idea of grinding in this battle system that I really dislike is also a turnoff, you know? I am not here to keep shitting on this game. I think this game is extraordinary, but the way you're talking about it is like, oh yeah, just grind out the levels so you can accomplish your goals. And it's like, but I don't want to do that because I don't like the battle system. So even that aspect is not fun for me.
No,
but I it's clearly winning many people over. So yeah, I'm just really fascinated by this game and very excited to like. Watch the story or reveal the story once you have, because I would love to, you know, we talked about this last time, like I want to know too. And it'll be fun to talk about it when you get there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I get there, you know, like not on the podcast, cause I'm not going to spoil it, but like, I'm going to happily just be like, hey, here's what happens in the story.
Well, I think we do one mini episode where it is spoiler full. You only come listen to this if you want to talk about Expedition 33. And if you do not, don't click on this. You know what I mean? Like we can just put that in the feed and that would be fun to do with listeners and Discord folks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that idea. That's fun. Yeah. I actually just looked it up cause I was curious. I was like, well, how far out am I and how many acts are there?
Yeah.
And it says that the main story is approximately 30 hours if you don't do any side stuff. But I've done side stuff, so it's probably going to be longer for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I think it's three acts. It says Act 3 is the shortest, but there's three acts. And I don't know what's the end of Act 2 either. And I'm afraid
that's
if I Google
thing.
It, I'll
I don't
get
know.
Spoiled.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like clearly demarcated. But like, you know, I'm going to talk in vague terms. And I really haven't played that much, but it's like... the exposition, which is like, this is the world and this is the mission. And then they go and do the mission and things go awry. And then something that I have not seen and that you have not seen yet, perhaps is Act Three, and that's the game, you know, so that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I did briefly see that all you do in Act Three is fight the final boss in a final dungeon. So it's not like a full act. It's like this is the conclusion. Okay. So that means that I might be where I'm at in the game. I might be
quite
a ways through. Yep. Yeah, because I think I've played about 22 hours. So, I mean, yeah I don't think I'm super far out.
Mm-hmm,
But I also am not putting tons of time in every evening after work either. I'm doing other things. So, like, you know, hopefully in the next few weeks I can be like, I finished it. But I have a feeling that I'm going to have like one person in our Discord warn me, like, you know, it's going to get everything's harder from here. And I was like, interesting. I don't know what difficulty he played on. I should ask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's making me think about two things, which is one, I just want to see the story and I want to watch it all. And cause the cinematics and the characters are obviously beautiful in this game. And so I don't want to just read a summary. I want to like watch it eventually. Mm-hmm. And then two, I would love to watch a speed run of this game because you know that there are people who have just memorized the patterns for every single enemy. And it does not matter what gear or characters they are using. It's just, and they parry everything and they critical hit everything and then they are just boop, 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 all the way to the end. And that would be amazing to watch.
Yep, it really would. It really, really would. But I continue to mostly avoid content online about it because I'm just like, nah, like I don't want to be spoiled on absolutely anything. So I have looked up very, very, very little. But yeah, I'm at where I'm at. I did also want to briefly mention that last night Patrick and I came across something that I had never seen before. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that this got spun off like from the Wholesome Games movement, I guess you would say.
Okay.
So it's called Dames for Games, Dames 4, number 4 games.
Okay.
And it is a little collective of all ladies that are doing kind of their own showcases, just like Wholesome does them. And I say just like Wholesome because there's a lot in common with Wholesome, in my opinion, in Dames for Games. So the event was called a slumber party. It had a lot of kind of like Wholesome and cutesy games in it. I will say the only thing that I have criticism about it is that I feel like some of the games they chose felt a little lower in quality or more half-baked than what Wholesome presents. Wholesome's curation is better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yep.
But that said, I hate saying that because I feel like they're trying to do something meaningful. And like, I don't want to just be like, oh, like, I don't know if it's their first ever event, for instance. They are a nonprofit. I do know that. I learned that about them. So I thought that was really cool. They do have a Discord. If you look them up, they have an Instagram. Yep. So you can like learn about them and what they're trying to do.
But they do not. And I'm just noting here, I'm looking on YouTube because I'm interested in like watching the thing, but I don't see like a YouTube channel. It looks like the stream was hosted on like Game Trailers and IGN. It looks like it was distributed to other outlets. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. It was. And so that's why, like, after learning about them, I'm like, probably going to follow them and keep an eye on what they're doing, despite the fact that I felt like the curation could have been better. Because I think that what they're trying to do is meaningful. And I really like the fact that they're focusing exclusively on women. I am not 100% sure if this is the case, but I think that maybe they only feature games made by women.
That would be awesome if true. I was curious about this as well.
Right. And, you know, once again, I also feel like I should probably say, like, you know, when I talk about, you know, games quality overall, that might be my particular impression. And someone might watch that and be like, oh my God, everything they featured was perfect. Like, you know,
I clearly hear you saying is that women are not as good at making games as men, and that's okay.
Jesus.
It's your words. It's not, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what you said to me. No,
looking at their socials, it looks like they've actually been at this for a while, and maybe I just didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they have a lot of content on social. So yeah, just something maybe worth checking out.
Yep.
Especially if you like the kind of wholesome game stuff that I do, it might be interesting to you.
I'm already seeing stuff in some of the individual trailers and in the streams that I'm like, oh, this looks great. Like there's good stuff in here. So
I did add stuff to my wish list because of seeing it. So that's why I feel kind of like it's not fair for me. Maybe a better way of putting it is not everything appealed to me that I saw. But that happens with wholesome as well.
It happens name your
anything.
Stream. There's right. always a bunch of like, oh, this is like, what? Who cares about this thing? So it's right. a knockoff. It's a Stardew clone. Okay, who? Whatever. You know. Yeah.
Right. Right. For sure. Yeah.
This is great. All right, so. You've given me some stuff to watch here. I am bookmarking for
Good.
Later.
Good. I like that.
Yeah. What else?
That's
Any
all
phone
I got.
Games in between? In
nope.
between? Oh, you know what's great? You know what's great? I didn't come here to talk about this necessarily, but Halls of Torment, which you turned me on to a while back, is a superb game, and I do look. I love Vampire Survivors. As much as anyone, Vampire Survivors is the Mac Daddy and the perhaps if not the originator of its genre, perhaps the perfecter of the genre of survivors likes or auto shooters or whatever you want to call it. But I feel that Halls of Torment is better. Or let me say that I like it better because of the RPG elements of it. I feel like it's less obtuse because like Vampire Survivors is like, if you do this weird thing and have these six weapons for 2.7 minutes, then maybe a gem will appear that you could unlock a thing. And it's like, how would I ever know that? But this is more like there are like quests that are chained together. There is gear, everything kind of all the stats are very precise. So it's like you're playing Diablo in a way, but it's Vampire Survivors. You know what I mean? It's that. And you can determine which direction you shoot in if you want to. You can auto shoot or you can twin stickify Halls of Torment. So anyway, I like it. I like it more than Vampire Survivors. Mm-hmm. And the point of telling you this is that it is now out on mobile. And I think it has been for a little bit, but there's a premium version, which is $5, and I think they're going to do the same thing that they did on Steam, where they're going to release a free version where maybe you can have up to three characters and then you can unlock the rest. I don't know exactly what the business model is, but the free Steam version that you shared with me is like, oh, this is a whole fucking game. This is a full game. Like, it's basically all there, and then you can buy the premium to get extra stuff. So anyway,
gotcha.
I just think it's great. I think it looks great. I think it feels and plays great. So if you want more Vampire Survivors in your life and you want it just like in your pocket and you don't want to worry about, you know, booting up a console or a computer to play it, go get Halls of Torment for $5. It's awesome.
No shit. Okay.
That's
cool. That's a good tip.
Like if you were like, oh, I don't have time to play games, but like I need my dopamine in between other things. It's great. It's really good on mobile.
Yep. That's fun. Okay. I'm definitely going to check it out. That seems like a really good fit for it personally.
It is. You know, I'll say it's a little small. It's a little, everything's a little tiny because the sprites are very Diablo 2 looking. So like,
right.
You know, the skeletons are quite tiny, but like once you get used to it, you're good to go. Maybe they'll add some accessibility, like, oh, zoom in 1.2 or something, and maybe you'll get a better field of view or something. But anyway, so that is good. I've been playing that, you know, in the off hours, let's say. But I'm here to tell you about a little video game called Donkey Kong Bananza.
Oh boy.
Okay. Donkey Kong, it's not Bonanza. This is what I realized. We were laughing about it in the Discord a little bit. Like, I'm Googling and trying to purchase online. Well, I'll tell you my purchasing story, but I'm like, wait a minute, how do you spell the word Bonanza, which is just a general word that means a lot of something, and it was a television show, and I'm like, oh, it's Bonanza, right? And then I'm looking at the game and I'm like, oh my God, they're spelling it B-A-N, like banana. And that, it literally took me up till 2 days ago to realize how the game was spelt. And that is both cute and clever and stupid at the same time. And I hate it, but I also think it's good. I think it's funny, you know. Anyway, Donkey Kong Bonanza. When the Switch 2 was finally revealed and it was like, and there's a Mario Kart game and Mario Kart's the best-selling video Nintendo game of all time, I think, probably, right? Mario Kart 8. And it's like, well, duh, it's a Mario Kart game. Mario Kart World, it's very, very good. But like, you know, where is the Mario Odyssey? Where is the Zelda? Where is the big marquee game? And then they were like, hey, guess what? Coming in July, Donkey Kong Bonanza, everyone's favorite Nintendo character, Donkey Kong. And I think we collectively were like, what? This is the one, you know,
this is it.
This is the big one that the thing that they're going to do. And then so the trailers were like, all right, he's punching stuff. Okay. But then as they started doing like gameplay reveals, it was starting to become more clear that like, this is a very interesting and innovative game. And I think the hype level got a little bit higher. And then I think the game was demoed at like in-person events, either right when the Switch 2 was launching or shortly after. And I think as people and press were getting their hands on it, they were like, oh, wait a minute. This is pretty cool. And then it was revealed that it is the Mario Odyssey team that created this game. So they are, instead of making the next Mario game, it is this game. And in the last sort of month or so, the pieces all kind of started to slot together. And then I started seeing reviews pop up two to three days ago. And truly across the board, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, like major outlets and influencers and mid-tier outlets, everyone that I could find, if they were not giving it a perfect score, they were giving it like 9.5 out of 10, 9 out of 10. And I was like, whoa. And I was very interested in getting the game regardless, but I was waiting to see, you know, and maybe I'd pony up for an 8 out of 10 kind of game, you know, it's first party Nintendo game, right? And then I was like, oh, right. So I showed it to my son and he's like, I showed him the review and he's like, we gotta get this game. You can punch anything, you can do anything. I was like, yeah, man, we gotta get this game. So he had birthday money that was like someone gave him a GameStop gift card, which is like very nice and very generous, but also like, what the fuck? Everything I buy is digital. I don't care about cartridges. I'm not going to get like, you know, I don't know, Funko Pops at GameStop. Like, where am I going to use a GameStop thing? I was trying to use it to get the Switch 2, but that didn't work out. So I was like, oh, okay. And then he had another gift card, another like MasterCard gift card. So I'm like, all right, let me go to GameStop.com and buy a digital copy of Donkey Kong Bonanza. And I'll spare you the details, but like, let me just say, it's not a good experience shopping on GameStop.com.
Oh, I'll bet.
I couldn't use the $25 MasterCard because it's like, okay, here's your balance. Pay with a credit card. And I'm like, I only want to pay with $25. Otherwise, this card's going to get declined. And then pay with a real credit card for the rest. So I bought a $25 digital gift certificate from GameStop that I sent to myself. Then I used both gift cards to buy Donkey Kong and then paid for the balance. And then it was like, and then it's like, then the website crashed. Then I couldn't log into the website in Chrome. Then I opened it in Firefox and then did it again, made the purchase. And it's like, great job making your purchase. We'll send your code when it's ready. I'm like, when it's ready? Like, and I'm looking online. It's like, if I had purchased this from the eShop, you can download the game and it's on your system. And then it just unlocks at midnight, which is how most digital games typically do. They did that for Zelda and for a lot of stuff.
Yep.
So it's like, when your game is ready, you'll get an email. And I'm like, again, this is all silly stuff, but my son really wanted to wake up the next morning and dive right into it. And I just was like, you know what? This is going to come at like 1 a.m. and then we're going to be like downloading it when he wakes up and it's going to be a disappointment. And it's fine. So anyway, woke up the next morning. The email did come in at 3 a.m. And then I right away started downloading it. We got it down in time and he played a little bit in the morning, played a little bit more in the afternoon. Silly. When I could have just gone to the eShop and clicked one button, I did all this jank too and ended up paying like $15 for Donkey Kong, which was great. Because it is a $70 game. But I'm here to tell you that it is worth $70.
That is impressive, because we really bitched about that price tag.
Look, we can have a larger discussion about are games getting too expensive? Yes. Is any game worth $70, $80? That is an open discussion. But the amount of... Here's what I'll say. If you're spending $70, $80 on a game that's like, oh man, it's not as good as I thought it was, or it's a little bit broken, or I'm waiting for a patch, or it doesn't run great on my PC or whatever, that is a different discussion. But if you are paying $80 for a game that is literally pure syrupy joy, like, like, why do we play video games, right? Well, maybe I'm going to do a tactical thing where numbers are going up and I'm strategic and my whole brain is in the game and I'm thinking, I'm looking on the wiki. Like, I love deep, complicated games. Or maybe I'm playing Expedition 33 and my mind is being blown by the story and I'm in love with these characters. Oh, my God. This game is the most turn off your brain and punch shit game I have ever played, and it feels so good.
I was gonna
to
say,
play this
what
game
you, like what okay so there's so many games that you can punch things in. What makes it feel so good?
Okay, I'm observing something really fascinating about this from a game design perspective, and come with me on this journey. Let's talk about, let's say, Breath of the Wild, right? Or Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, whoa, Link can go anywhere and he can climb on anything and he can sail down. Oh my God, the world's so open. But there are limitations because you have a stamina meter, you have health, you can't climb on wet surfaces. And that's what makes the world of, let's say, a Breath of the Wild good. You cannot just have unbridled access to everything everywhere, because then the gameplay would be trivial, right? I think we can generally agree that Breath of the Wild is a beautifully designed game because there are because you can go anywhere and you can do anything, but you are constrained and you have to figure out how to overcome the constraints. Some of that is leveling up and unlocking abilities, and some of it's like, whoa, the devs never thought I'd go around this way, but here I am, and I'm jumping off this thing, and I made a crazy contraption, and I'm slingshotting myself. That's why Breath of the Wild is amazing. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong Bonanza is like, there's no cooldowns, there's no limitations, there's no stamina, there's no restrictions. You can climb, you can punch, you can jump, you can do whatever you want. The world is made of like basically Play-Doh, and you can rip and grab and throw and smash through all of it. And you might be thinking, well, then what's the, if I can just do anything and go anywhere, what's the point? And there is something about the way this is designed where it is so frenetic and so chaotic that it feels like you are, it feels, I'm trying to figure out the best way to talk about it. I don't know if you've ever played Power Wash Simulator or mm-hmm. you have, right? Like,
yes.
Or games where it's like, this is a lot, there's a lot of stuff here, or there's a lot of dirt, or there's a lot of disorganization. But if I scrub, or I wash, or I get all the things away from the thing, the goal, then it is suddenly perfect. And it's very satisfying to clean this Ferris wheel because it mm-hmm. used to be disgusting and now it's perfect. There is something about DK that is like that. Now, so using Power Wash as an example, there are no cooldowns or stamina meters on Power Wash. You're just going, there's no challenge to it necessarily. And some of the levels are more challenging than others because you got to get up and figure out where to go. But by and large, Power Wash is like, you're sitting there and you're getting the dopamine feeling of making something that was disgusting and turning it into something that's clean. DK
okay,
Bonanza is like this in that you have goals and you have objectives and you have treasure and bananas and characters to meet and talk to. But the pathway to getting there is just, there is a mountain in my way, and how do I get to the goal? You are clearing rock and sand and dirt and grass out of your way to achieve your goal. And it just feels really, really good to do it. And it is just packed to the gills with that Super Mario Odyssey, like, I got to collect all the moons. I got to collect all the gems. I got to collect all the gold.
Goddess.
I got to cash in all of these numbers for a cool tie or a cool hat or a cool pair of shorts or a thing that's going to let me smash harder or a thing that's going to let me swim faster. Or I got to collect enough bananas to, there's a skill tree in DK Bonanza. So it's like, imagine you have a big ball of Play-Doh and it's like really, it's hard, but you can smush through it with your hands. Well, what if you level up your fingers and now you can like smush through it faster? Those are the kinds of like skill tree level ups. Like there's nothing necessarily in the skill tree where it's like, oh man, I can't do X until I level this up. But what you do start to realize is like, oh, if I level this up and I level this up and I level this up, then I can like smash through a mountain way faster and discover way more things now that I am stronger or I've unlocked a new Bonanza form or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I probably played, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 hours. So I've really spent some time with it, but I've only unlocked the first like Bonanza form and I've only kind of, I'm realizing that the skill tree that I've opened up is only maybe like a third of what the whole skill tree is. And I've only really leveled up a few skills in that one portion. So anyway,
gotcha.
It's kind of blowing my mind, like how free form the game is and how like you go anywhere, do anything it is. And yet it is still fun. And I would not say challenging. It's not challenging. It's just fun and it just feels good. And I think the challenging part will come from like, well, I've beaten the game, but I've only done and seen and collected like 20% of the stuff. And so here, let's go back to the Breath of the Wild analogy. I've explored the whole map and I've gone underground and I've gone above ground and I've gotten a lot of Koroks and I've gotten a lot of hearts and I got the Master Sword and I beat Ganon and I played a lot of this game. And guess what? There's 200 more Korok seeds you could get. Now, there are some, forgive me, mentally ill people, we love you, who want to get all the Korok seeds. I am not one of those people. That is way too much, like, menial grinding with no payoff.
Right.
That I don't want to do that. I don't want to 100% Breath of the Wild. This game, Donkey Kong, is so, it just feels so nice to play that I would like nothing more than to turn my brain off, listen to a podcast, and look for bananas for the rest of my life. You know, like, that is how great this is. I said this in the Discord. There are two lessons from this game. One is, at the end of the day, we all are just dumb apes who are trying to hit stuff and find shiny things. Like, this game gets at the core of what it is to be a dumb animal, truly, and to just feel good by getting all the things. And the second thing is, the moral of DK Bonanza is that all problems, anything you face in this world, any adversity can be solved by punching.
Love that. Love that very, very much.
It's so good. I love it. My son loves it because, like I said, it's not challenging. It's not frustrating, but you feel like you can just kick everyone's ass. And that is what he needs. You know, we're all stressed. We're all busy. We're all freaked out by what is happening in the world. And, like, this is a game that you can truly disappear into and just turn everything off and not think and not worry. And then maybe the last thing I'll say is that our daughter was really not that interested in the game. And then I was playing it last night or in the evening, and she was in the room and she's like, oh, wait, is this two player? I was like, actually, yes. So once you acquire the companion character, you can do co-op, local co-op. I think you can play across multiple systems. I don't know if you can play online. I don't know, but it is just couch co-op. Mm-hmm. And player one is Donkey Kong. Player two is Pauline or Odd Rock, which is the precursor to what Pauline becomes. And that second player can just is just a targeting reticule, like a crosshair, where you can hover over a material, and it's like, ooh, I'm going to gather up. You don't actually take it out of the world, but you, like, what do they call it? Copy or clone? I forget what they say. You hover over rock and you're like, and now you can shoot like seven rocks. And so you can shoot rocks at obstacles and break them, or you can shoot rocks at enemies and kill them. So while you as Donkey Kong are like doing what you do, second player can go bam, 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 and kind of like destruct the environment or take out enemies cooperatively. But then you can also be like, oh, let me clone gold. And so there's gold everywhere. You're constantly acquiring gold. You're digging up gold. You're pulling gold out of the ground. You clone gold, and then you can shoot seven golds, and you are shooting gold, and gold, for whatever reason, explodes. You're basically shooting bombs. So then you're like, boom, 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 and then that can like blow the environment way apart. So it's basically like, you know, you know, the eyedropper brush in Photoshop or whatever, you know, image editing tool you're using, where it's like you hover over purple and you go, boop, oh, now I'm using purple, and you grab the color you need. That's what player two is, but for the world. And so you hover over the material you want and you go, boop, and then you can shoot that material. And it is so chaotic and so insane because you are smashing everything. Second player is throwing rocks and smashing. Like, I cannot even see what I'm doing on screen, but my daughter and I are just like giggling, just smashing every. It's so dumb and so good. You happen upon these there's worlds, and it's like a Mario game where it's like, oh, level one, level two, you're going down into the earth, and you happen upon these towns, and there are other monkeys and apes, and you literally just like smash their town apart because you're looking for gold and other power-ups, and they're just like, all right. You're just like, you are a big dumb ape smashing the world to nothing, to atoms. And that's the, I just, that is it. That's the game. I can't, it's so good. It's so good. So great co-op, great experience. Turn off your brain. The music is great and the sound design is great, but I'm really not listening to too much of it because I'm just putting on podcasts and skipping through the dialogue and just going smashing and collecting more things. So, you know, it's the right game for me at this time. I'm ping ponging between smashing things in DK and like engineering my spaceships for this expedition that I'm going to go on in January in Elite Dangerous. So
very nice.
Big brain, pea brain, toggling back and forth between them. It's great. It's great. So
big brain, look, pea brain,
big brain, pea brain. If you have a Switch 2, this is the killer app. If you don't have a Switch 2, but you're thinking about it, like, I'm not saying you should spend $580 to smash things, but like, now there are two Nintendo games to play, and maybe that's three or four if you're, you know, if you want to upgrade your Zelda games and whatnot. And so now the Switch 2 is starting to come into focus as like a game system with stuff, and it's great. I'm very satisfied with my purchase. My family is having so much fun. We are playing Mario Kart World almost daily still because it's just that great. And we're playing online and the kids are playing online, and just it's really, they look, Nintendo, they're pretty good at this stuff is my closing remarks. They're good at games.
They are. And I guess if I think about some of the games that I've reacted to that they've put out and how I felt about them, I'm like, is it worth the $70? I feel like it probably is worth the $70, but the problem is that everything's expensive. So I feel like I'm just very sensitive.
It hurts. Everyone is.
Yeah. Like it's like every time, you know, but like to give it like a real true assessment, you know, if I'm like, well, if I had to buy, what was the last Kirby game? I'm trying to remember.
Forgotten. What is it? Forgotten. It's not Forgotten. Forgotten Realm. The frick is it?
I could see it in front of me, but I can't think of it.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Yeah, that was it. But like, if you're like, hey, that game is $60, and I'm like, okay, and then yeah. I'm like, hey, that game is $70. I'm like, you know, part of me is like, but like, I don't think that the part of me that cringes like that, I'm not sure that it's really about that. I think the game's not worth the quality. I think it's about more the increased price because everything's expensive. You know what I mean?
I think, like, I know exactly what you mean. And I think there's some data on this too. I saw this somewhat recently. It's like, I will spend $70 on, or even $60 on a premium game from a developer or a franchise that I know with certainty after reviews and whatever that is going to be a stellar experience, and I'm going to get 100 hours of gameplay. And if I do that, I am not going to buy two other $50 or $40 games because maybe in the olden days I could have spread that around, but now I'm just buying $2 indie games on the Steam sale and Donkey Kong Bonanza. I am not getting the other ones, the other $60 and $50. And at least that's my spending habit at this current moment. And I must assume that I'm not alone.
Probably not. Also, you just reminded me of something since we're talking about spending. Were you already aware that Steam is having Automation Fest?
I did
right
see
now?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it last night and I was like, well, that is a mad ass sale right there.
The TFW, you go to a Steam sale and already own all the games, and there's nothing to buy.
Of course. Oh, that makes more sense.
Which is not really all true, right. But like anything I would have been interested in is already in the library. So yes.
I mean, I guess under those circumstances, it is very much a madass sale because you've already got it all.
And I don't want to play any other big brain games. My brain is in star charts and engineering tables for spaceships, and I do not have room for any other automation. So I will be skipping this sale. But if you like those games and you have not purchased Factorio or Satisfactory, you should do that because those are good games.
Yep. That's it. That's what it's about.
All right. What do you say we get out of here and play some Friday night games?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, before I let you go, have you seen the game Peak, P-E-A-K?
Peak. I don't think so, but let me look it up. Peak Game.
Peak Game.
Peak. A co-op climbing game where the slightest mistake can spell your doom.
This is one of those games that you certainly can play by yourself, but the reason it has caught fire is that it's about friends getting together to figure out how to collaboratively get up the mountain. And also it has proximity chat. And apparently the proximity chat's very good. So it's like, if we are standing next to each other in the game, it's like, hey, oh, pick up that thing. Okay, we're going to go over here. But if I have started climbing up or I have gone to investigate something way back here, then it's like, Khaled, what are you doing? Come back.
Oh, that's fun.
And the videos and streams of this game are absolutely hilarious. and really, it just seems really fun. And so, my question to you and to listeners is like, if we could get a group together, we should play Peak.
Oh,
I think it's like $7 on Steam, something like that.
Yeah, it's very $7.99. Yeah, yep. It's very inexpensive. That would be fun. That would be fun. And we could stream it in there and like have people join. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully people will weigh in because I think that would probably be a lot of fun.
I think someone mentioned it. Maybe Tricky Love was saying it and it's on my wish list, and I've been following other streamers just peeking in on them being like, oh yeah, this game is really crazy. And I think it's very wholesome too. Like, I don't think it's like wacky or like gruesome or anything. Like, it's like silly. It's silly, fun, proximity chat, hijinks,
fun.
Let's say. Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
All right. So,
all right. Well, let us know, guys.
We'll make a plan for that. And we have to do in game. We can't do Discord chat. We have to do in game chat because that's the proximity chat. That's what makes it fun, I think.
Yep.
All right. Get at us. Let us know what you're playing. And if you are down for some gameplay streams, perhaps this weekend or next. And we got to remind you just to please be kind out there and rewind your podcast after listening. We'll talk at you in 1 week's time.
Bye, friends.